Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Friday to everybody, and shout out to Debo. Week 40 of 50, the 2021 meetup, the session plus scoreboard check. Note, this session starts out blurry, like when you are on a full-on bender blurry. I used to play sessions like this all the time between 2013 and 2017, and I won more of them than I lost, but I also lost big sometimes, and I won huge other times. It's been a while, though, because you don't play blurry, really blurry sessions when you're on the grind. I mean, all of mine are a little bit blurry because I'm so tired, and sometimes they come after, you know, having dinner and drinks or whatever, but I'm talking about this one is exceptionally blurry, like full-on bender blurry, as mentioned, and it's not really by choice, if that makes any sense at all. I've been thinking long-term this entire grind, which is maybe why it's taking me so long, but I think it'll get me to a point where my come up is sustainable and I don't have to worry about ever trying to make a fourth rise, because I've thought long term throughout, and that's just how I think. And I know the most important thing I'm doing professionally is building a community. This podcast is not important. It's good entertainment, but it's not important. But the community I'm building kind of is. I think it's an example of what works in humanity. It's just different than what's going on everywhere else in the world. It's communal behavior, and maybe there are places that are communal that I don't know about. I imagine there probably are. I just don't know about them, and I don't know about any of them in America. And this is just a pretty small community, but it just has one rule, and it's you can't be a nit. You cannot take more than you give. Very fucking simple. It's not weird. It's not corny. It's not a cult. One fucking rule, and I believe in it, and I've already seen the proof. Started building it back when people started supporting my content, and it's had really beautiful moments, and it had a really incredible honeymoon stage or honeymoon phase. I don't know what the proper term is, but yeah, so that's what's going on in this week of my life is the 2021 meetup. And there are meetups all the time, all over, right? People go golfing, they play poker, they do all kinds of stuff all the time. Well, this is the official one for this year, and it's in Vegas, and it's a week long. And why is it a week long? Because I'm learning as I go. I don't have any experience building a community, and it doesn't need to be a week long, but I made this one a week long. I figured a lot of people are traveling from all over the world. Might as well give them plenty of things to do if they want. And yeah, so we'll see how this goes, because I also have to put sessions in no matter what, every week, especially this year. I set out at the beginning of this year to play 100 sessions, which isn't a lot for a professional poker player, but I'm trying to transition out. I used to play, you know, more hours than anyone back in the day. Well, I'm older, I got kids, and I have other interests. I'm more interested in creating content. I like my commentating gig now, and I like building the community, and I like working on my startup poker rags, and I just don't have the same love for poker that I used to, nor do I have the time for it. So I set out to play 100 sessions and, you know, 50 weeks and 2 sessions a week, and I set all these goals, and that's what the scoreboard check is that we do at the end of each session review, each public session review. And yeah, so I got to put in sessions no matter what's going on that week. And The bonus session is always the first of two sessions I play in a week. And that was interesting. That was on night two of this, I guess it's a 6-night meetup. So that was on night two of six. And that one wasn't blurry at all. And that was 5-5-10 at the Sahara, the Hustler game at the Sahara. And this is night five of six. And we just came over from the Sand Dollar, which is a really cool bar in kind of in Chinatown. It was a bar that was on Bar Rescue, I believe. It was kind of a dive bar. And then someone smart came and put good food. They have good pizza and made it a mixology place and redid the place. And it still has live music every night. That's the appeal. And, well, anyways, night five of six was a few of us went out to dinner. And then the group met up at the Sand Dollar. And we kind of took over, you know, maybe a third of the building and just had drinks and, you know, listened to an 80s rock band. And it was fucking awesome. And then I had to play my session. And that's where we're at now. And one of the people I just met for the first time in the community is a man by the name of Play It Again, Sammy. And he was instigating shots at the Sand Dollar. He's younger, and that's okay. I'll do one. What, another? I'll do another. Sure, man, one more. Oh my God, really? Four? Fuck it. And it's been that kind of night, and here we are, and he's in my game. Okay, so let's see what happens. It's 2 a.m. on October 10th, and the game is 5-10. It'll be 5-10-20 soon, and the way to get the straddle on, the step one is straddle. And so I come in with a straddle, and yeah, that's fine, especially in a game where you have to post. It's fine. And I look down at pocket aces. So it's been a really amazing week. I've had some bad luck in all my gambling prior, and I've been kind of hemorrhaging money, spending with people who are doing well in life when I'm not doing well in life financially. But so what? I've been thinking long term, right? And this session, I know I could win. If it goes well, I could win a lot of money. Any night, any given night, I could win a lot of money, especially when it's blurry, because I'm going to put my foot down even harder. I will not play as well, but sometimes people who don't play as well can win more money. And I'll still play well enough to win, unless I go on massive tilt. And anyways, pocket aces. This is a good start to the session. And a young guy, gotta be less than 25, opens to 70, and I know my image, right? I got a shield on, I got a drink already, just played against Sammy and I are talking, and I know my image, and it gets back to me, and I just put a stack of $10 chips out there. I make it 200. I really like the sizing. I can't imagine this kid folding anything, and he folds. So I don't know. It's just, I'm representing drunk guy very well. I am drunk, but also I'm representing drunk guy very well. And I have fucking pocket aces. And he just folds. So I don't know. He was at the bottom of his opening range, something that he doesn't defend with. He was thinking along those lines. And okay, now next hand is my big blind. And someone opens, and we don't have the straddle on yet. And I defend. I have 9-7 offsuit, but it's four ways. And the board comes king, king, king. So I'm never trying to win on this flop. And we all check. And then, you know, I could hit a 9 or a 7. The turn's a king. King, 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 king. Four kings. What a joke. Because someone has an ace, and now they have a lock on the hand. And so it's fine. It's just, it's a nothing hand. But I like hands where you think, I could possibly win this one. No, you can't possibly win. So just keep checking, and then let the guy with the ace finally bet, and everyone fold. Okay. And now I fold for an orbit, and I get back to my straddle, and I have queen, deuce of hearts, not exactly aces. And this time, people limp. Maybe because I raised last time, they limp, and I just check along. You know, and it's multi-way action, and the flop comes down. So I check, and I fold, and I add on. And why am I adding on? Well, I'm not stuck that much. I just need to put it all in play on this night. I need to make sure I have the maximum that I can have in front of me at all times. And that means the cap is $1,500. And so if I have any dollars in my wallet and I'm less than $1,500 in front of me in chips, I got to add on. It's that kind of night. And this dealer says, "What's up, man? I haven't seen you in a long time. Where'd you go?" And I was trying to be funny. I said, "I went to a dark place." And I think I was just trying to say, like, if he hadn't seen me at Bellagio, it's probably because I've been toiling away at the Venetian for the last few years, on and off. Just ever since I hit rock bottom, I have not been able to get anything going. I think I was just trying to joke around. And he thought I was being serious. And he said, "I hear you, man. I used to go there a lot, too." And it just turned into kind of a sincere moment. And I also have gone to dark places too, just like this guy. It was weird. I was trying to be funny. I didn't realize I was also being partly serious and on different levels. I remember this most vividly of the entire session because I was just trying to just be a smartass. But also there was some truth in it, and this guy could relate. And it was just kind of a human moment at the table. I don't know. And then the next hand I play is King Jack of Diamonds, and I raise, and I wrote three of them call. Okay, so the notes are a little different than normal. And the flop comes down 8-3 with a diamond. So I have two overcards and a backdoor flush draw. And a new guy, brand new guy, leads half pot into me. Okay, and I got two behind me. And so people don't usually lead sets, and if the guys behind me don't have a set, how could they call a raise? And this guy doesn't even have his chips yet. They haven't even arrived yet. And so he leads 60. So I guess the straddle's not on. And that's half of 120. And I min raise to 120. I like this. It's so when I go in like this, I'm going to play, unless I go on tilt, I'm going to play very creatively. And often very well. And I really like this min raise because it's going to shut out the people behind me. And at worst, if they have something and they're not sure, they're going to call and fold the turn. It just accomplishes many things. And I really just want to isolate this guy with whatever the fuck he's leading in the field with, probably an eight, right? And he hasn't got his chips yet. And it's like I'm going to bluff him because he's just representing one pair, and I was a preflop raiser. And if I raise with two people behind me, it's super strong. And I'm going to bluff him, and I'm also going to get value for my it's good. It's really good. So he bets 60, I go to 120, and the people behind me fold. And he calls quickly, 60 more. The turn is the nine of clubs. So it's 8-3, and now they're at nine. And he checks. And I just kind of look at him a little bit, and I'm not staring him down or anything. And he just seems like he doesn't want me to bet. And I could worry about, definitely 9-8 would be a hand I would be worried about, right? But you can't worry about everything in life. It doesn't get you anywhere. And I kind of just really sense that he doesn't want me to bet. And I don't remember what he bought in for, but I decide not only do I need to bet, but I need to bet all of it. And so I kind of just sell it. Like I look at him and I look at the board and like, you know, and I finally just do that thing. Dealer, I'm all in, which people do with the nuts all the time or big overpair. I have king high. I have nothing. And he thinks for a while and he turns over a queen eight of clubs and folds. So that's pretty amazing. He flopped top pair, donk bet into me. I min raised. He turned a flush draw, and he checked, but I bet so much money, all his chips, which hasn't even arrived yet, that he's like, that's another thing is, in a vacuum, what the fuck am I doing? Well, I'm not in a vacuum. I'm in real life. And here's what's going on. I do know my image, right, because I'm drinking. Play It Again, Sammy is in my game, and he's been making me do shots. He was making me do shots at $7, making me do shots at the table, and it wasn't that long ago that I was a young man and could handle this. So, you know, I'm that guy. The mog trying to be a young man. And on this night, fuck it. This dude supports my podcast. Everyone that was in town does. And so they're all cut from a similar cloth. And fuck it. It's just one night in my life. right? And so I'm aware of my image, but also I've been playing pretty solid so far. And anyways, I have a good hand, King Jack of Diamonds. Even a fucking sober goddamn tag would play that hand. And I'm the opposite of both of those things. And I get three callers, and it comes 8-3. And I have two overcards and a backdoor flush draw. And now a guy leads into me, which is very, very, very consistent with top pair. Or like if he had a hand like 9s or 10s and just flatted preflop, right? But he hasn't got his chips yet. And how many people want to stack off before they even get their chips? How many people really want to get in the trenches and play poker and make a hero call on their first hand? Not many, right? It's just human. And so once I get the other two people out with the min raise and he calls, now I'm going to bluff. It's going to work. I mean, I could hit a king or jack, and then I'm going to fucking take the stick and downshift into value mode. But, you know, or I could hit a diamond and then, you know, maybe just actually check back. Just different plans, right? But the idea is I'm going to get these other people out for the bare minimum, right? By just, if I call on the flop, someone could squeeze behind. It's just bad, right? So I want to raise the bare minimum, which you don't really think to do that often, but it made sense. He calls. Now I'm getting value. I'm getting $120 from this guy, and he's going to fold the turn. And the turn was actually great for him. I gave him a flush draw, but I bet so much, all his chips, if he just, you know, and this guy just seemed like a normal dude in Vegas. If he just like told his wife good night, I'm going downstairs, I got, you know, $1,000 to play poker, I'm going to play the, are you just going to call it off against an obvious overpair here? No. And he folded. And I showed, because I was thinking, you know what, I normally don't show, but I've spent so much money this week and lost so much money in just all ways, which the patrons already know about, that I need to win a lot on this night. So I want these guys to know what's going on, and then maybe I'll get a good hand, and then that's how you win a lot, is when you show a bluff and then no one can fold anything to you, and then you start making hands, and then next thing you know, it's oops, I won fucking $20,000 at the Bellagio last night, blacked out. Happens. Well, okay. So it's set up now, and the game is 5-10-20 now. It started out with me straddling and played against Sammy, obviously straddling, and he left. But the game's 5-10-20, and now I know that they've already seen this. It's time for me to bluff less, maybe, depending on the situation. Anyways, I'm the button, 5-10-20, folds to me. I have 8-7 of clubs. I open, normal. Everyone does this as well. And I get two callers out of the three people, okay? The flop comes down 7-6-5 with the 6-5 of clubs. Are you fucking kidding me? You raise with 8-7 of clubs on the button. You got the image. You get two callers out of the blinds, and it comes 7-6-5 with the 6-5 of clubs. I flop top pair and open in a straight flush draw, and that's pretty amazing. And they check to me, and I bet a third of the pot, which just represents my entire range, and preflop was my entire range in perception. And so the small blind check raises me here, and I know I don't have any fold equity, and it folds back to me. And I also have the image to get paid if I hit one of many, 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 many outs, right? Opening a straight flush draw in top pair. And I guess I could have the best hand, right? Say this guy just has, you know, just like the ace high flush draw. I could have the best hand. We'll find out. Anyways, it's just a call here because I bet, and he check raised pretty significant. I know I have no fold equity. And, you know, I can just get paid. Well, the turn's a 4. I just turned it straight. It's an offsuit 4. I didn't turn a straight flush, but I turned it straight. And now this guy pots it. What the fuck? Did he flop a straight? Did he flop 9-8? I don't know. I didn't think so when he check-raised on the flop, because he check-raised huge. Is he losing his mind? Maybe. Is he just barreling off with a nut flush? I'm gonna call and let him barrel off, because I have a straight. The river is a 7, giving me trips, in addition to everything else. Check out this hand. I just showed a bluff for all in because I read everything correctly and I executed correctly. And that's one good thing about coming in the, you know, after the bar is like, you're not going to be, you have no inhibitions. You're not going to be able to read anything on you because you don't care. You just know it's the right play, so I'm going to do it. Sometimes you're sober, like, I know it's the right play, but fuck my life if this guy calls, right? And they can read that fuck my life if this guy calls, that vibe you send out. I don't have it. I just know this is the right play. He can't call. He hasn't even got his chips yet. So it's set up. The game's 5, 10, 20. Open 8, 7 of clubs, 2 calls, 7, 6, 5 with 2 clubs. Fascinating. Just a huge flop. Top pair, open a straight flush draw, and they checked to me, bet a third, just represent that I'm continuation betting, and small blind check raises big. I don't have fold equity. He has something, probably has me beat, almost certainly, but I have the world, and the other guy folds. Call. Turns a 4. Now I have a straight, and now he pots it. What the fuck? So the only hand that beats me here is 8-9. I still have outs against it because I have a open and a straight flush draw. And, you know, so a flush. But I don't think he has 8-9. I don't think he flopped the joint and raised me huge on the flop. It seemed like a different kind of raise. So I don't know. Just call. Maybe he's barreling off with like ace, deuce of clubs. And the river pairs the top card, the 7. So I have a 7, right? And now he bets like 2/3 pot. And now I don't like it anymore. Something just feels weird. And I don't know. But what am I? I'm not folding this fucking hand. I have a straight. I block. I have trips. I have straight. Like, what the fuck? I call. He has 7-6 offsuit. That's even now, as I look back sober when I'm recording, it makes me mad. So you can only imagine 7 shots of fireball in on night. Fucking 5 of 6 of a meetup, which is basically just a bunch of great people from all the world getting together and partying a lot and gambling a lot. Well, this didn't make me happy because it's just the ultimate cold deck. You have a much better hand going in. 7-8 of clubs against 7-6 offsuit. He outflops you. He flops top 2, but you also have open and straight flush draw. You turn him nearly fucking dead. He pots it for some crazy reason, and you're just going to get all the money, and he binks. It's really hard to make a full house when you have 2 pair on the turn, especially when the other guy has one of your cards, right? So, oh man, he had 7-6, so he needed a 6. There are 2 of them left, or he needed a 7, there was 1. That's 3 outs. That makes me a really big favorite on the turn, like over 9-1, and he hits, and I just, it's just too confusing all around, and it's weird that he bet pot with top 2 on 7-6-5-4. I don't know. I wrote, I want to break everything in the Bellagio. That's how I felt. I'm just telling you. And so I go in a little folding pattern, not a holding pattern, a folding pattern, where I just start folding, and I gotta regroup. Right? Because I had it set up. I was going to get all the money, and then it was going to be a shit show from there for everyone at the table, because I would be up a few thousand, and it just, I might go upstairs and see, like, maybe someone will play me heads up. Who knows? This is how this shit used to work. And anyways, I got to fold and regroup. And now, the guy that his chips hadn't even arrived, and I bluffed him, he limps. I try and isolate him with ace 7 of clubs. You know what I wrote? 4 fakes in. So, it's just I was being a little unhappy. It wasn't fakes. I actually wrote 4 fake fucks in. No, just 4 opponents. Okay, so I tried to isolate him, and 3 people behind called. Good for you guys. I have ace 7 of clubs. It comes queen 10-7 with a club. Bottom pair, backdoor, nut flush draw. Now this guy who led half earlier and I min-raised, he leads big and I fold. It seems like he flopped something huge here. Queen 10, pocket fucking 10s, I don't know. I just folded. We all folded. And then it's my straddle and I fold and I wrote fuck. And I don't think I fucked, but I just wrote fuck. Okay. And now I have ace 10, 5 ways. And here's what I wrote. So now I'm steaming and I've been overserved. Not my fault. So the cocktail waitress at the Bellagio and the bartenders at Sand Dollar. So that's their fault. I've been overserved. I have ace 10 5 ways, and I wrote tucking nithing, which means I didn't flop. I didn't flop anything. Okay. Now, this guy doesn't straddle. This guy who had 7-6 offsuit and just, God bless his soul, called that hand from the small blind. I wonder if this guy is being coached by Moose. Maybe. Called 7-6 offsuit from, like, okay. And then Flop Top 2, 765, decided to raise it. Okay, reasonable. He was up against a monster. Got turned and potted it. Good for you. And then boated up three outs. Sure. Good for you. Well, I made, you know, and I'm blocking the shit out of that with my seven and so on. And so he doesn't straddle, but he opens to 30 instead. And it seems weak and two people call. And I just make it a lot. And I went $105 and I had ace five offsuit. Isn't that kind of poetic? I don't know. But I talked about me toiling. So the story of Sessions is just me trying to make an impossible comeback. Poker's not hard for me to win, but it's hard for me to put hours in, given how busy I am, given how many hours I've played in my life, and it's hard for me to stay focused and all that. And it was really hard when I started this in 2018 because I was just so spooked by variance. And I still am. You hear it all the time. And that's why I have Cindy help me out and Whitney and whatnot. But I'm less spooked by it. And I said I was toiling a lot in those red chip games and red chip hell, Venetian, whatever, because you just can't impose your will in those games. And the same is kind of true at 5-10. It's much better. You can win. You can earn a living. I'm sure you can at 2-5-2 if you put in all the hours, but not with the hours I got. Or the few hours I've got. And 5-10 is also kind of toiling. And I'm not throwing shade on anything. If you want to make real money in poker, you got to play higher. Because whether you know it or not, the game's higher in like upstairs, or if you're fortunate enough to play in like one of the, you know, Bobby's room or whatever, those games are rarely full ring. I mean, when they are, they're not that great, but they're often not full ring is what I'm trying to say. And there's usually a humongous whale driving them. And that's where you can just be up there and be like, oh, I just won 25K tonight. And it's like, okay, the next like few months are already paid for. And so I don't know. The thing about 5-10 is it's not impossible. It's not hard, but people are trying. They like playing full ring and they three bet. And I don't know. I just wrote, if you're in 5-10, you're toiling. And I wasn't hating on anyone. I was just pointing out something. I don't know. And I wrote, so every steal has worked. And that's true. I've bluffed in this session a lot. I'm talking a lot and I don't write it. And I've made a lot of hero folds in this session so far. And I'm still stuck. And I wrote, fuck this fucking shit. And you know what that is? If you saw Phil Hellmuth's rant at I don't know if he was at a final table or what, but I think it was World Series of Poker. He's ranting, I'm going to burn this place down. Just all this crazy fucking massively entitled shit, right? Because he's been in the game way too long and he's had periods where he's run so hot and he's always around sunrunners. If you're a poker player, you're always around a sunrunner because that's all that exists. And that's why most wash out. Is because they get unplugged and then you get a new persona heater and then they get plugged. But some of us are fucking lifers. And so you spend too much time you're always around people running in the top quadrant in variance. It's just true. And you also definitely did when you made it, you know, you ran way up there. So you have that like taste and you're so entitled. And I know it and I doubt he knows it, but it's such entitlement. If you saw Daniel Negreanu when he was playing against Doug Polk heads up and he was running bad and he was losing his fucking mind, at least I just do it into my phone. I just write, fuck this fucking shit. I don't say it, you know, at the table. I just take my beats and whatever else. But I'm just trying to drop some knowledge. Why not? And now this guy who's been pretty lucky at the table, I open to 60, and he calls, and I have ace-queen. That's a good hand, no matter what, right? And it comes ace-queen, 10, two-tone, and I check. I feel like this is fine. I have the image for check-raising and getting paid by many, many hands, and he checks back. Okay, fine. And the turn is a 5, and now it's two-tone. It's ace-queen, 10, 5. And there are two flush draws out there. And I just go ahead and lead pot here because I have the image for it. And this guy 3X's me. Oh my God. What the fuck? I opened ace queen in a 5-10 20 game. This guy called. He's been lucky. It comes ace queen 10 with a flush draw. I check because I'm going to check raise and try and just get all the money, right? And he checks back. And then the turn is a 5. So ace queen 10 5. There are two flush draws out there now. And I bet pot because I can just rep. I'm trying to steal now and you're going to call whatever. And he 3X's. And now I stop. I don't even like my hand anymore, but I'm going to call and reevaluate. You know, I have two pair. If this guy has a set or a straight, I still have more outs than the guy who had 7-6 offsuit did against me. So I'm going to call. And also, I don't know that he does. He could just be overplaying a hand like ace 10. He could be bluffing, I guess. I don't know. But the river's a brick. It doesn't complete any flushes or repair the board. It doesn't give me a boat. I check, and this guy bets a lot. And I think, and I have ace queen, man. And it can't, and I've been running bad all week and whatever. And it came ace queen 10, and I checked and checked back. And it turns a 5-2 turn, and I bet, and he raised me. And now the river's a brick, and I check, and I have ace queen. And so I'm pretty under rep, but he bet a lot. And he's wearing a Tupac shirt. And I said, you know what, man? I would call Tupac, but I'm folding to you. Just a dumb speech. And I folded. And he showed me King Jack. Cold deck. Raised with ace queen. Get called by King Jack. It comes ace queen 10. The flush draw. 5-2 flush draws. Give me a break, dealer. Okay. And then I steal the very next hand. Makes me feel a little bit better. And then I am a next hand of note on the straddler. And I defend, and I flop two pair and have to fold again. And it's kind of a hero fold, but I promise you when I go in, so I have, if I just play poker and I have no weight on my shoulders, I'm very good because I'm just perceptive. I've just done it more than anyone. And this one game, other games, no, but No Limit Hold'em Live. I just know what people have all the time, and I know what they think I have, and I can do the math quick and whatnot. And so I don't pay off when I'm in the, and I just fold two pair again, and I'm down $1,500, and that's fucking nothing for 5, 10, 20, but I'm sitting with 800 because I only had 2,300, and I don't know. So, but even if you're running bad, the problem with playing on a bender is if you run bad, you're going to feel like it was because you drank too much that you lost. It's just the way it goes. If you play sober and probably are down just as much or more, you're going to be like, well, I just ran bad, you know? And but there's always that doubt when you've been drinking. It's confusing. But anyways, what am I going to do? It was the meetup. I had to plan it and I had to attend it and I've enjoyed all the people, but I also got to put in sessions and that's just the story. So, yeah. And then I steal. Okay. That's good. And then we're playing this hand is 5-10, 20, 40. And I open to 110 with pocket threes and some guy wearing North Carolina gear goes to 600 and I don't set mine and I don't call thinking maybe he could have like ace king because I just think he has a big pair and we're not deep enough and I fold and he shows me kings. So, it's a good fold. And then it's time for my best play. I have added on. I've Venmo'd someone at the table. I Venmo'd one of the Patrons' screen name. So if you're a Patron and you join the community, you just come up with a screen name. You can stay anonymous. You can write you can tell your story in the forum or wherever you want, right? And you can do it anonymously, as I have done, under the screen name DGAF, which I just got stuck with forever ago. But anyways, one guy's name is Death Eater, and his friend is in my game, a young guy who comes to the meetups, and I Venmo'd him to get to 1,500, and this is my best play. So Death Eater's friend's young, and so is the other kid who I had aces against the very first hand. And now this kid opens, and people call, and I have ace-jack offsuit, and I squeeze, and just the kid calls. And so I think he has a good hand. I think he actually has like a pretty big pair. Like if I had one guess in the world, it's queens. And this kid plays pretty good, right? And I have ace jack. It comes ace 4-4. Okay. And I also know that when this kid, people, when they squeeze with an ace and it comes ace 4-4, they check. Not me, because I know this kid actually plays well, so I want to really, really fucking own him. So I just go ahead and I bet, but bet small. Like, I got to bet quickly to make it look like a bluff. I can't bet big too much because he might just fold anyways. And he thinks and calls. Okay, and I have ace jack and it's ace 4-4. The turn is a 10, and I kind of look at him, and I bet a size that looks kind of like a bluff. And he calls, and I feel like he's just going to call me down. And I think he has a hand like queens. If I have one guess in the world, queens. It could be a small ace, but I just know, just from looking, you know, I'm four or five seats away from him. I just know. And the river is a 6. So it's ace 4-4, 10-6. And I have ace jack. And I squeeze preflop, 3-bet preflop. I bet small on the flop, but quickly. And then I bet more on the turn to make it look like a bluff. And now I have like, what, 1.5 to 2x the pot behind. And I just like think and like try and sell. I'm nervous a little bit. And I go all in. And he doesn't like it. And he calls and my hand's good. And that's just max, max, max value with ace jack on ace 4-4, 10-6. That's how I play when I don't have the way of the world. It's easy, and it's also easy to play when you have the best hand, right? I'm way more impressed when I see people play great on stream without the best hand, because it's easy to play the best hand well, right? It's just, it is. It's much easier. But it's still my best play because I was just locked. This kid's very solid. And if it's against a different kind of player, I have to play my hand differently. But someone that plays well and knows that people just don't squeeze and then bet with ace jack on ace 4-4 and don't go all in on ace 4-4, 10, it looks like a bluff. It's not. It's value. Sorry, kid. And I put daddy even. So I got even. Nice. And then I wrote, dear Lord, running into it, folding. Okay. And I wrote, every hand a ducking joke trap. So sometimes you'll be running bad and you'll get that one hand to get even, and then you'll start running bad quickly again. And then that kid rivered a one outer against me. I don't know what it was, but I'm not sure what it was. He must have had like a pocket pair, and someone else rivered like top and bottom, and I had... Yeah, and I had, like, whatever, top pair, good kicker. And he had one out, and he got there. Okay, good. And I was winning after, so I said I was even. Well, I was more than even. I was winning a little bit, but no longer. And now I squeeze with king-queen suited, and it comes ace 5-5, and I, what? This time I check. I'm going to rep the ace, and the guy bets, and I call. And the turn is an X, and I check, and the guy bets a lot. So that's very polarized. That's kind of what I was doing with the ace-jack on. But I think this person just has a 5, and I fold. It's because people aren't bluffing me at this point. And I don't know. I'm starting to feel pretty cursed. And I go to take a piss, and I come back. And the next note I wrote is, Yang Gang isn't a dealer. So that's pretty funny. Recently, I don't know if it was a public drop or a private drop, I talked about this kid I played with at the Venetian a lot and at the Bellagio a lot, and he was one of the few good players I played against while I was playing 2-5 and 5-10, whatever. And that's not a diss. I'm just saying that it's everyone knows that. LOL Live Poker, it's real. But, and I said, oh shit, he's a dealer now at the Bellagio. And I saw him the other night, and I was thinking how like humbling that would be. Not to become a dealer, but to deal at the same place you were just sitting, you know, with thousands. And I get a closer look on this night, and it's not him. Oh, well, I had to update the story. And then I come back, I run into another boat, and now I'm starting to tilt and spew. So this is the problem with going in when you've been on a bender. If you run well, you're getting all the chips in the whole fucking place. If you don't run well and you're a seasoned, grizzled vet, you can hold together for a while. But if you just keep running into it, it's going to start to, it's going to start to, you know, unravel. And I, now Death Eater's in the room too. I Venmo'd him too. So Yeah, I've been, I brought a certain amount that if I lost, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And I've now Venmo'd for, or Zelled, whatever, for more. And I don't know. It's just what I did. And, what I did not know that Death Eater's friend was a patron. I thought this guy just showed up at the meetup stuff as his friend, and he was always a cool kid. And I started to get a little testy at the table. Not Philhelmo, I'm going to burn it down, honey, they called me with a queen or whatever the fuck he says, but a little grizzled, a little testy, and I apologize, Death Eater's friend. I actually told Death Eater to apologize to you anyways before I knew you were a patron. But now that I know you're a patron, fuck, I feel even, you know, more apologetic, if that makes any sense. But I wrote, feels like a curse. It does sometimes at the table. I'm sure you all can relate. And I think I've had eight times. And that's just a stupid note. Those eight is actually a lucky number. And I had eight, but I didn't win any of them. And then I got in there with some suspect hand, multi-way, you know, gambled pre-flop. And I'm in position always with this shit. And there's 1600 in the middle pre-flop. And I flop open-ended. And Cinny, you go ahead and tell them what I made. That's right. Thank you. Cinny, you got to come to the next meetup. Can you take shots of Fireball? What? You're Irish? Me too. Oh, I see your point. Okay. Next note is River owning ace high. So the good news about being overserved before you play is that, for me at least, is I just focus on the game. And I can just get so in tune with other people's hands that I can kind of own, like go for, you know, fuck your continuation bet with ace high, but I can bet a value bet on the turn with ace high and then get rivered, whatever. And then I wrote fuck man, and I do not think I fucked a man, but it was blurry. And anyways, I wrote miss a flush draw, miss a straight draw, okay? And then there's this kid on my right who kind of reminds me of Christian Soto a little bit. I played with Christian Soto back in the, when I was spiraling down, actually, whatever year that, you know, it could have been many years, but it's what I think he would be like now, because he was younger and, you know, just didn't have the soft skills that a new pro would. And then they get them. They get it like, oh shit, the money is not sitting here fucking playing this hand perfectly. The money is playing fast, straddling, and just playing good. It's not playing great. The money is playing good, not great. Fucking quote me on that shit. And so this guy kind of reminds me of what he would be like, but, you know, because he's playing fast, he's talking, he's being socially straddling. And, but it's also like, it's probably been 8 years or whatever since I was thinking back to when I was playing him. And this dude is, you know, it just doesn't, he's younger than the guy I was playing with. So it's not him. And I say, what's your name, man? And he says, Christian. It was him, but he lost weight. He got short hair. I think he used to wear glasses and doesn't. Maybe he didn't wear, I don't know, but it was him. And so this guy's definitely in his mating stage, if that's not too weird to say. You know when, like, suddenly you see a dude is like, oh, now he's in shape and, like, looks, like, you know, super healthy and whatnot? I don't know. That's just human nature, I think. And I say, oh, shit, man. Thought it might be you, but you look fucking younger than you did, and it's been years. I don't know. And he said that he listens to the pod, and he said, save the princess. He said, I would buy that shirt. And then, well, I said, okay, man, maybe we'll make one that just says save the princess. And I said, he wants me to win. I can tell he does, right? I mean, he's going to play hard, and I'll play hard, and it's fine. We're not friends. It won't be hard to do that. And he's not a patron. But it's just cool to, you know, have someone want you. But the eight doesn't want me to win. And who's the eight? Eight's just some dude who came there with a bunch of chips. So I kept trying to bluff him, and he kept making the nuts. And that was really, you know, it's gray, because people that are too deep, you can bluff them off incessantly. But if they keep making hands the call, then it feels like you're spewing, and you kind of are spewing It's just gray. And I put him to the test a lot. And, you know, I have bluffed him a few times. One time, the kid, not Death Eater's friend, but the other kid at the table, even younger than Death Eater's friend, one time I just, like, whatever, cold four bet with deuce four suited. And the guy, you know, because it went to a lot. And the guy folded. And the 8C, and I showed my deuce four suited, and the young kid at the end of the table, he knocked the table. Like, I just felt like he was giving me the whale treatment, and I said, don't fucking knock the table when I win a baby pot with, don't do it, man. I said, because I thought he was, like, giving me the whale treatment, which you should do to whales, and I guess maybe I kind of was a whale on this night. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it, but I kind of snapped on him a little bit. Like, you don't give me the, you don't knock the fucking table when I win a baby pot. Like, unless you'll play me heads up. I just, you know, grizzled vet, gonna grizzled vet sometimes. And I'm not proud of it, but I'm also not a fucking ashamed of it either. It's a poker room, and, you know, it's the middle of the night. This is what you get. And I don't know. And for, so my best play was, I actually, especially that kid, I'd ran well against. I doubled with ace jack. He's the last one that deserved to be snapped at. So if you're listening, kid, I'm sorry. My bad, man. I'm not perfect. You won't be either. Get out of this game before you're in it too long. Just trust me on that. Anyways, that was my best play with the ace jack. Just really got max value on the ace 4-4, 10-6. I mean, yeah. And worst play is I just kept going for it a little too much. Just, it is good to go for it against people who are too deep. You do need to have, you can't go to a gunfight though with a butter knife. And I was doing that, if I'm being honest. Just, I don't care. I know you're weak. I can see it, right? You're watching it. This guy open, you're trying to isolate, whatever. You're trying to three bet. I'm going to cold four bet. Oh, wait, I have the worst image in Las Vegas and I have some dog shit hand. And I just showed deuce four suited after it worked. It's stupid. So that was my worst play. And anyways, let's play another hand. I can't beat this fucking 8C guy. I mean, I've bluffed him a few times, but I could never, you know, some guys you just can't make the best hand against. And I couldn't make it against pretty much anyone on this night. And I was making a lot of hero folds at the beginning of the session. And that stopped happening. And it's 5-10-20. I'm the 20 and Death Eater's friend who's a patron. I didn't know. And I shouldn't, I said to apologize to him, and Death Eater said he didn't say you were out of line at all. So who knows? You always have that Irish guilt the next day. But anyways, he opens, and the 8C, who has all the chips, calls. And I defend with 10-7 from the 20. And it's funny. I defended with 10-7 suited in the bonus session, and I hated it. And I defended with 10-7 offsuit here. I don't like it. I'm just ready to gamble. And if I could ever make the best, I can figure out what they have usually. And if anyways, if I could ever make the best hand, I'm getting the money. It's a bad hand. Flop comes good though. Ace 9-8 rainbow. I check. Death Eater's friend checks. And the 8C bets. He flatted pre and now bets. And I go ahead and check raise small here with my open ended. And if he's just doing that thing, take a stab in position, he'll have to fold whatever hand's better than 10 high. And I'm open-ended, I could hit, right? And I don't know. He calls fast. Well, Death Eater's friend folds fast, and this guy calls fast. And against, like, reasonable players, this means a draw. And so, right, because it's you have nothing to even think about with ace 9-8. But against, this guy's more, what, fishy, I would say. It could just mean more things. And I'm not being judgmental, and I don't care if you're good or bad at poker. Either one I don't care about. And I'm not playing great at this point at all. No. But I've also run horribly, and there are many reasons for it, and who cares? Anyways. But so he calls fast, and I already know that this isn't a super reliable read. Normally it is, right? If you raise someone and they call super fast, if they're really good, they could do this with a really good hand, made hand, but almost always it's a draw. And anyway, so it's weighted towards a draw, but it could be something else. And now the turn's an ace. So I just defended with 10-7. It came ace 9-8, and I checked raised small. And now the turn's an ace, and you know what's blocking this guy from having an ace? The seed 8. You know what's blocking him from having one? The turn card. So now I'm going to bet again, and I think he has to fold if he has a draw. You can't call the draw after you got check raised and then the top card paired. That's even someone's fishy's not doing that. I mean, he knew what he was doing. Fuck, for all I know, he's a pro, but he didn't seem like one. Anyways, so I'm going to bet again right now, and I can't like do anything too creative like check raise. That's just nah. I should just bet now, and he's gonna fold all his draws. Well, he calls. Okay, so I ran into trips, you know, and big deal. It made sense to preflop's a fold, but once you get to the flop, it makes sense when you check, the preflop raiser checks, and now the guy in position takes a stab. It's fine to check raise even with a bad image on ace 9 8 rainbow, because they know I'll go for max value if I ever have anything. They saw me do that with ace jack, and preflop raiser folds, and the guy who took a stab or just bet the flop calls quick. Typically a draw, but maybe not with this guy. Turns an ace. Okay, so it's less likely than before he had an ace. And even if he has a hand like 9-8, he has to fold now. Go ahead and bet. He calls. Okay, so what? Ran into trips. Haven't made a goddamn hand. And what? Have I made? I mean, not really. All night. I had top pair once and I got a double up. But the river is a jack. Oh my God. I made a straight. And I just want it to look, I just want to get paid by his ace. And I bet a lot. I bet half my stack. And as I go to bet half my stack, I knock over my Heineken. Oh shit. It's been a while since I spilled a beer on the felt. And I've definitely started unraveling in the last hour or so. That's one of the risks of going into a session like this. And I spilled my beer, but I finally made a fucking straight. And, you know, they come over with a rag and I'm like, shit, sorry. And he says all in. And, oh, man. I say, you have ace jack. I say, I know you have ace jack. And so I could save my half stack. It's not much. I could, $500 or whatever. I don't know. And I could. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe you have the same hand. So this is a prime example of you think long, you think wrong, right? I know you have ace jack when you do that. So when I'm playing lock, fold. Here, I finally made a hand, fold, go to the next one, even though I don't have any money left. I've already zelled all I can, I've already tapped out every option, right? And so what, I'll just go home with a few $100, $500 or whatever. But then I'm thinking like, well, maybe he could just have an ace and just is going all in because he has trips. And I don't know. I called and he had ace jack. It is a cold deck, but I normally don't lose. I don't pay it off normally. And at the beginning of the session, I was folding where I don't always fold. And here I paid off where I don't usually pay off. And 4 hours and I lost 7 lives. Oh, man. It's a big loss for me. And this is the worst I've felt getting up from a poker table in a long time. And it's just going to be so blurry. I already know this. It's going to be blurry when I think back, like how much of it was me just being super unprepared to play. Extremely tired, overserved, like stressed financially, all this shit. Like that's not like how you know, that's not what Jared Tendler or Tommy Angelo, whoever those guys are. I think the guy's name is Jared Tendler. I don't think they suggest to play like that. I could be wrong, actually. If you guys are listening, Tommy Angelo, are you supposed to? Do you recommend going into a session like I did? But anyways, I can do it. I've won more than I've lost lifetime doing that shit because this shit comes easy to me. And when I can avoid going to the secondary levels of decision making, it's always the first thing. It's always right. I mean, not always right, but it's always the best you're going to come up with is, yo, you have ace jack. I knew it. No, wait, maybe you have 10-7. Well, I already decided on the turn. That's why I bet the turn is because he couldn't call with a draw. So no, he doesn't. Maybe he just has ace X. Nah, he had ace jack. And then, I don't know. So, we don't have to. The good news is we don't have to go. We're going to walk over to the sports book together like men and women. Even though this is a disconcerting or not disconcert, disheartening session, right? You guys that are rooting for me don't want to hear about this shit. I didn't want to live it. I didn't want to tell it, but I always tell the story. Hopefully you can understand that, if not appreciate it. But you should look for silver linings sometimes or often in the face of adversity or a setback. And the silver lining is we are going to go walk over to the sports book and check the STP scores because we're still trying to get through this, even though this is a low point, right? We're still trying to save the princess. That's been the goal since the beginning of the year. And because we want to get to a season 5 and finally fucking rise again, right? Clean up my life a little bit, take a lot of things off my plate so that I can go into sessions better and I can actually work on my game, which I do. And then whatever. So we're going to do that. We're going to, even though we all just want to fucking throw our shields in the trash can and walk off our own separate ways. No, we're going to go over there and we're going to check it like strong men and women. But the good news is we do not need to go to the cage first. Nope. We don't have to do that. So that saves us some time. So let's walk over here to the Bellagio Sportsbook and we'll check these scores, and I won't belabor it because I know we're all a little unhappy right now. Okay. Thank you guys for sticking it out. I know you're probably like, this dumb fuck, but also I ran bad. I really did. I mean, look at the hand histories. Try and look at them objectively. Anyways, look up there. See the STP next to NBA and NFL and NHL. Well, the first line under it says hours 410 of 400. And that makes sense. Because week 40, we should have 400 hours, 10 hours a week. And we had 402 hours after week 39. And I played 8 more in week 40. So you heard four hours in that really blurry, tough session. You didn't want to hear about it. I didn't want to say it. But we always tell the story because the story is the story. And four in the first session I played on this week on Thursday night to Sahara, we played 5-5-10, the Hustler game. And it wasn't really blurry for me. Yeah. So if you want to hear about that session review, plus this whole meetup, all this shit we did every night, including more details, on the sand dollar before we came over here. I had one. I'll just give a spoiler. I suck at shaking hands with people that come in like for a bro handshake, like dab you up or whatever the fuck it's called. I'm awful at that. And I nailed it. Someone came in. It was actually played against Sam. He came in for one. First time I met him, I feel like I fucking nailed that shit. And then another dude came in for one, and I ended up giving him a hand massage. It's just so... But anyways, if you want to hear about that riveting content, plus just all the drops of sessions, all the life story, always, until it's over, and just every drop, including all these interviews I've done. Matt Berkey, Garrett Adelstein, Jim Rankin, who you might not know his name, but his story is the best I've ever like interviewed and got. I don't know. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up for a whopping $4.22 a month. And you also get my other podcast, which I finally figured out how to put on the RSS feed. So basically you sign up and you get your own RSS feed and there's easy instructions. You click on your podcast play, it's right there. And you just click on something and suddenly you have this feed that the public does not. And you get it used to be you get all sessions drops. Well, now you get all Solicit Advice podcast stuff too. The stuff I've done with my psychiatrist friend, Dr. David Namark. And it's dark. Some of it's really dark, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. And you get all that shit for $4.20 a month. And you also get to be part of this community that I'm building, DGAF community, if you want to. Well, you can do it at any level. You can just be on the forum online and just, it's like you have 2+2, but it's not trolls and nits and whatever else. And yeah, so whatever. It's not that hard. Patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer if you're interested in that stuff. Okay, and let's keep going. The second line under STP says poker eggs, 884 of 736. So we are beating this line pretty well. We had a slightly better week, but we still didn't have a good week. But let's hear. And I can see, because they put it real small. The Nevada Gaming Commission puts it real small. I can see who scored points for us and who the MVP was, if there was one, and who got Employee of the Week. So Timothy from Huntley, Illinois got us a point. Thank you, Timothy. Mark from Aurora, Colorado got us a point. Thank you, Mark. John from Gonzales, Louisiana got us a point. Joe Stapleton from Los Angeles, California, 2 points. That's the poker Joe Stapleton. I don't know if he bought those shirts or if maybe Edonk did, but either way, it came up as his name. 2 points. Thank you, Joe Stapleton. And then a longtime patron and pillar of this community out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Kat Spiros, got us 4 points. Thank you, Kat. I wish you could have made this meetup next year. 100%. You got to be there. And, okay, do you guys mind chanting? I know we're all feeling a little bad right now, but do you guys mind chanting MVP so I can do this proper? Thank you. Your week 40 most valuable purchaser at Poker Rags from Granby, Quebec is Eric, who I believe is Pixel Mess or Pixel Messes, a new member of the community. And if it's not you, I'm sorry, but I think it is you. 5 points. Thank you very much and congratulations on winning this prestigious award, honor, and going down in the history books. And we do really appreciate it. And we got 14 points total from those customers. And up there it says Employee of the Week, Jody. And it says in parentheses, Customer Service Beast on Slack. Thank you very much, Jody, and congratulations as well. That's not your first Employee of the Week, but good for you. And what that means on Slack is that's one of the platforms of the community. And many of the customers are patrons, but sometimes they'll ask for this or that, something custom, and she's just always all over it. At least the Nevada Gaming Commission thinks that, and congrats. And thank you to those 6 customers who put points on this line in week 40. And if you listening would also like to put points on this line, thus literally becoming part of the story by helping to keep this podcast going while sprucing up your wardrobe with the most comfortable and cool looking clothes on the planet, head over to pokerags.us and just start clicking. Just go for it. Just keep shopping until you run out of all your money. And then Zelle some people and run out of that too. Kind of like I did in the session you just heard about. But you do that on pokerags.us and that's solidarity right there. Okay. The third score under STP up there, it says results 78 of 82. Ugh. So we're behind pace for the first time in forever on this line. And that happens. We're 53 wins and 27 losses on the year. We're barely behind pace, but we're behind pace. Because I lost both sessions this week where I wasn't super prepared going into either. This one was really blurry. The other one wasn't. But just kind of doing a lot going on in my life. All the patrons already know about that. And it's just the way it goes. Okay. The 4th score under STP says patrons 348 of 390. So let's see what the hell happened here. So ATM dollar sign signed up. We got 4 points for that person. Thank you, ATM dollar sign. Anthony Silva signed up and came in at $16.88 a month. And that means Anthony gets all the sessions and solicited advice podcast drops, and he gets the forum, which is our version of 2+2, and he gets Slack, and he gets to play poker, essentially rake-free, and he puts 4 points on there, and this is someone I've known from way back. I'm very happy to have him be a part of this shit. Thank you. And then someone deleted. That's -4. And then London Paul went from 422 to 1688. Thank you very much, London Paul, and he gets all those new perks as well. And then someone else deleted. So we're back to 0. And then someone was at $8.44 a month, which gets you Slack, and they went to $3.11 a month. That's the first time I've ever seen someone go below 422. I don't know what it, I didn't even know it was possible, but I don't know a lot of things in life. And so that's at 0. And then we had 4 declined cards at payday. So the way they're keeping track of this now is they're just keeping track of the total amount active, which anyone can go look at anytime they want at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. And We have 312 active, and we had 316 the week before. So we lost 16 points. We lost four Patrons. If they get their cards right, we get those points back. But the Nevada Gaming Commission is just, they're tough. They're not giving us fake points. And I don't blame them. I don't want fake points. I only want real points. But we've gone negative 48 on this line in the last 3 weeks. So a few things at work. Well, there were fake Patrons. People who do want to hear this shit, they don't want to pay the bare minimum. So they found a loophole, which is getting closed, I guess. And also, the life story stuff has run its course. And I've alluded to that, or I've just straight up mentioned it or stated it. And it has. It's the stage has been set for the fucking comeback. And now it's time to make the comeback. And that's going to happen next year. I'm rising next year, no matter fucking what. But we do need to get the amount of points to justify all the effort I put in to podcasting and whatnot, because it does hold me back quite a bit when it comes to making a poker rise. If you think about it, I'm spending all this time and energy. Well, next year the plan is to just do it, just do session reviews like what you just heard, which isn't as draining as all the life story stuff, which some people love. And I'm still going to do that once a month. I'm going to do an AMA with Patrons at a certain level, and I'll drop it as a pod for the Patrons, life story updates or whatever. But yeah, so that's, yeah, we're minus 48 in the last 3 weeks. It's tough because sometimes as the artist, you pour everything you have into it and it's not being received the way you want. Just because I pour everything I have into it doesn't mean it's good. Or doesn't mean it's what people want to hear. So I do know it's time to shift into, instead of four drops a week, three drops a week. People still do like the regular drops, right? It's soothing. It's whatever. It puts them to sleep. But I'm going to three next year. And it's just going to be session reviews. And it doesn't matter. It's time. It's time to fucking rise again. I've been talking about it for 4 years. And it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle just treading water, but I've managed to do that, and I've managed to build a few things that are going way the right direction, and I just need to clear up time, and I don't need to regurgitate the same story of me waking up every day and making coffee and working until, you know, I can't keep my eyes open at night. The Patrons already know that. Anyways, let's keep going here, and let's get you guys out of here. The score, the fifth and final line under STP, it's a consolidation of the four scores I just told you about. It's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we do get to 2022 points total by December 19th of this year, that's the cutoff, Sessions does live on in a brand new form of a pure form of just session reviews, three of them a week in the year 2022, plus a monthly life update. But yeah, and this one says 1704 of 1608. So we're now less than 100 points ahead of pace. We were a lot of points ahead of pace before. We're less than 100 ahead of pace to keep this podcast alive for another year. And we're only 80% of the way through our journey. So we definitely have a sweat. And I think for the first time in a while, just given the way it's been trending the last few weeks, I think we're actually a slight dog to get those 2022 points. I don't know. I haven't really crunched the numbers too much, but we're going in the wrong direction. And part of that is Nevada Gaming Commission cracking down on the fake Patrons. So yeah, if you're, you know, if you sign up and then listen to some shit and then unsign up and try it again the next month with a different email, I don't know. God bless you, right? Well, I don't get points for that because that's not real. And if, you know, if your credit cards decline on there, for same thing, it's not real. It's just, yeah. So, and they're only, Poker Rags was the only way, that's the only reason we're ahead of pace in general. And you get a point for every item you order. And it used to be you get 2 points for every item you order off of my page under Team Poker Rags. Just click on DGAF. But now it's only it's just the story stuff. And I think they're just, I don't know why they're doing that, but there's a collection called The Story, Anything from there is 2 points. Everything else is 1 point. Anyways, we got to get out of here. You guys are sick to your stomachs. But let me ask you, in the last hour and 10 minutes, have you been thinking about your own shit? Or have you got a nice little break from it? And if the answer is yes, I got a nice break from it, I feel like I did my job. I'm not a role model. Shout out Charles Barkley. I'm not perfect. No, I just fucking live my life, try and do the best I can. And sometimes I fucking have low moments. And sometimes I have high moments. I tell you about all of them. Okay. So, but before we say, you know, let you guys out of here, I want to thank everyone who's put points on this board in this Make or Break Season 4. And I want to give a very special thanks, of course, to all the patrons for their continued support. The real ones. You all are something. And I'll see what? I'll see all the patrons on Monday. And I'll see everyone else Thursday or Friday for week 41 of Season 4 of Sessions, titled Gravity's Gone. And oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not, whether you typically listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise,